So it's the middle of the 1970s, and I am ripped from my beautiful Park Heights neighborhood. I lived on Garrison Avenue, right between Reisterstown Road and Park Heights. And in the 1970s, this was the most family-friendly, beautiful African-American neighborhood you could ever experience. Full of families who worked hard, played hard. I knew when it was time to come in the house because the streetlights would come on. And once the streetlights came on, it was time to come to the stoop and inadvertently into the house. My sister and I were used to economics. We could take a quarter and go to the candy store and get two coconut cookies, one Mary Jane, a squirrel nut, and come back with some change. My uncles, who were our babysitters, my mother's six brothers, were our babysitters, and the way they sat us, we would sit on top of a billboard on the gravel parking lot on Belvedere across from the thrift store, Salvation Army, as they played stickball in the glass and the gutter. And that's how they babysat us while we listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire. "You're my shining star. No matter who you are, shining bright, you see what you could truly be." So for us, this was festive. It was awesome. Anybody could tell you what to do and when to do it because you were one of the foreman kids. And so if you got caught out of line, anybody's mama could go tell your mama and you would be taken care of. This was my Park Heights neighborhood in the 70s. Outside of that, we also had, we had a store on every corner. And for every time there wasn't a store, there was a house store. Now some of you good white folk might not know what a house store is, so I'm gonna help you out. A house store is a store with a lady who never changes her clothes. She wears the same house coat every day. All day, you're not sure if she washed her ass, but you're gonna go in there because she has squirrel nuts and penny candy and something that black folk like to call frozen cups. Now, I know y'all are stuck, but it's gonna be all right. I'm gonna ride out with you. A frozen cup is made of sugar and water, and we're not sure what else it is, but it is good and it's 25 cents. You go into Miss Nanny's house, and Miss Nanny, I tell you, the whole house smells like old grease that she fried some chicken from 2 weeks in a row. But you ain't mad because you got a quarter, and again, it's another lesson in economics. You go with Miss Nanny, she got squirrel nuts, penny candy, cookies, and she has a whole bunch of change jangling in her pockets. You ain't sure if she got underwear on, but you don't really care. So this was my reality in the 70s, and my mother, my beautiful mother, who's been a civil servant of Baltimore City working for the Department of Public Works for over 25 years, happened to get married to my then stepdad, my dad. And upon that marriage, my sister and I were a package deal. And we were told that we were moving to greener pastures. We were leaving the city and going to the northwest suburbs, also known as the county. The county of what? I don't know. It's just the county. And so we're leaving to go to the county. And for two little city girls who are accustomed to the lights coming on and Earth, Wind, and Fire and Commodores, this is while Lionel was still there with the afro. Some of y'all are real slow. I don't have a lot of time. Y'all got to catch up. For those of y'all who don't know who Lionel is, go Google him. He got a daughter who looks white, but she's black. Listen. And so we get in the back of my mother's car. We're a package deal, and we're driving out to the county. And it felt like we were in the car for hours, but it was probably about 7 miles from where we were being raised. But at that time, there was not a lot of paved roads. So we're going through roads, and I believe we're driving past what used to be Gwin Oak Theme Park. Remember that? Gwin Oak Theme Park? And so we're riding past, and it's just getting spread out and spread out, and we get up this long hill, and we pull into this neighborhood full of manicured lawns and beautiful paned little windows. And as we get out of the car, we start to notice that everyone is peeking out of their door. At that time, my sister and I, who were just excited because my mother had shared, "You're going to have your own room." And that was major because up until then, we shared the house with my mom's 8 siblings and her parents. And ain't no woo, it was a beautiful thing. We always had babysitters and we always had something fun to do. My uncle shared a room with us at the time. We did not know it was actually a walk-in closet behind our bedroom. And in that walk-in closet, he had a twin bed and all his Chuck Taylors lined up very neatly. And a big poster of a velvet tiger that glowed in the dark. Every now and again, you hear some Isley Brothers coming through and you felt real cozy, like everything was safe in Park Heights. So fast forward to the Northwest Suburbs, also known as the Milford Mill Randallstown area. And we're driving up this road and we're walking in the house and people are staring. And at this moment, even in my young mind, I thought that we were going to get a cake or a pie or something. We were just fast forwarded into the life of Leave It to Beaver. It was just the Cleavers and we were guess who's coming to dinner. And yet this was supposed to be a joyous occasion, and so we were ecstatic and we were excited. We had a lawn and we had a backyard and we had shutters, and we walked into our home and it was cool and we were very excited. And I knew in that moment that, you know, something was very different about this place. There were no streetlights. How would we know when to come in the house? Also, there were dirt roads, and beyond those dirt roads, there were these little wooded areas, and I felt very nervous about having trees all around. There was something in my genetic unconscious that said, there are trees and woods, be very afraid. But yet, as a child, I still had the innocence enough to just kind of back up and just be in the moment with my mom. And the next day, we go to register for our new school. And our new school is Hebbville Elementary School on Washington Avenue. We go to another dirt road to get, and I'm like, do these people have pavement out here? I'm waiting for Boss Hogg any minute and the Duke boys. Yeehaw! We're going through the dirt road. We pull up to Hebbville Elementary School, and my mother is registering us, and we get into there. And I remember my sister, who was 19 years my senior but 2 years ahead in school, had actually, I'm sorry, 19 months my senior. I'm dispelling all the myths tonight. 19 months my senior, but 2 years ahead in school, and she went to her class, and as she walked away, it felt like slow motion. I was very nervous. I was very afraid, because as I walked into the building, I'm feeling real confident. This is the 70s. I got a good straight part down the middle of my head, and I know y'all don't know what the significance is. It takes a black woman 35 minutes to put a good straight part down a little black girl's hair. And beyond those parts, I had two of the most perfect Afro puffs you've ever seen in your life. I'm feeling real good about myself. I got my faded out bell bottoms that get a little lighter as you go down and flare out a little bit. And I remember having like a tunic style shirt. I felt very sharp. I felt prepared. But then I walk into this building and nobody looks like me. Nobody. I walk into my classroom and my mother says goodbye. And there stands my teacher, Mrs. Barbara Levinson. And Mrs. Levinson was a chipper old gal with manicured nails and a Louis Vuitton bag that sat perched on her desk. And she said, "Welcome, dear. How are you?" She says, "Boys and girls, this is the new girl. Everybody say hello. Say hello." And they all just look at me, and I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me like, "You don't know what's going on, do you?" And I'm like, "I don't." I see other two, there's like two other little brown kids, but they kind of look like, "Girl, we still stuck here. We don't know. Girl, we just as confused. We want to know when the street light's coming on, too. We ain't no squirrel nuts, no Mary Janes, no frozen cups. We ain't heard Earth, Wind, and Fire in 13 weeks. We are just as nervous as you are." And so fast forward to the cafeteria where it all goes down, and I meet these two girls who will become my best friends, two of my best friends. We're sitting in the cafeteria, and I open up my lunch, and across from me are these two little girls that look just alike. And they're sitting there, and they're eating this stuff, and I'd never seen it before. It looks like white paste, like Elmer's glue, and it has pink things sprinkled all through it, and they're on these donuts with these holes, but the donuts are really thick and hard, and the girls are eating it, and the smear stuff is all over their face, and I'm completely mesmerized, and I'm staring at these two little white girls with paste around their mouths. Someone of them says, "So what are you looking at?" And I'm like, "What is that? I mean, what do you mean?" I said, "What is that? It's what do you mean?" I said, "What is it?" They said, "It's lox and bagels. Don't you know what that is?" I'd never seen a lox or a bagel and wasn't sure I wanted to see one after looking at their faces. But it began my love affair with the twins, Jennifer and Julie. And Jennifer and Julie ended up being neighbors of mine, and we caught the bus home together. And we grew this fast friendship because they were just as fascinated with me and my Afro Puffs as I was with all of their kosher dishes. So we started helping each other out. We wanted to get each other acclimated. Little did we know, we were both really the minority. It came out later on in life. And we would hear cars ride by and say, "Get out of here, nigga." And it was the scariest thing an elementary school kid would ever hear. In the same breath, it would be something just as derogatory to them. But we would teach each other stuff. I said, "So y'all want to be down? Y'all really want to know some stuff? Let me teach y'all how to do double dutch. And you teach me everything I need to know about your family." So they started bringing me stuff to eat. They gave me cotties, and boy, did I love cotties. I would put mustard and saltine crackers and tear them up, and I would try to teach these two little awkward Jewish girls how to double, but they couldn't really get it. But I tried, and then they said, "I want to show you some gefilte fish." And just saying gefilte fish made me feel so bappy. It was just a beautiful thing. Translation, jappy, but you're black. I don't have time. But one of the most amazing things that happened in those moments that we spent together is that we organically engaged one another, not as two races, but two groups of kids who genuinely had admiration for one another. And ultimately, we taught each other the best lesson. That beyond these little wooded areas and beyond these lighted streets lie people who really know that the best thing you can do is love the hell out of one another. And at the end of it all, they taught me one of my favorite songs. Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila Ven Yismecha. Hava, I've been wanting to do that all night. Hava neranena, la la la, la la la, neranena. Uru, uru akim, urakim valesameya, urakim valesame, urakim valesameya, urakim valesame, urakim, urakim valesameya, valesameya. I'm Michelle, thanks guys.